Shall we stand as I read from Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. And Daniel begins in verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to you to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined to finish a transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. May God bless the reading of His Word at this time. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, as we look into Your Word, how we need Your help in bringing and the rightly divided word of truth to the people. We pray that hearts might be responsive to Your word. We thank You, Father, that You have provided so clearly what You have for us in the future days. Father, bless this morning. Bless each one who has come. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've been praying this week about this particular portion of Scripture, it is at times rather controversial, and you see a lot of different renderings of what's going to happen. But I pray as we share this morning that you will understand, at least in part, in a general way, of what the future holds. As the Lord provided to Daniel over 2,500 years ago, that which not only came to pass so exact and accurately as God had said it would, but also, as we see, there is future prophecy that has not been experienced yet, but will exactly as God has said it would be. I am always, always excited when I see somebody in God's Word praying. And that's why we chose the song, or I asked James if he'd be willing to sing. And this song, Draw Me Nearer, but especially that first verse. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. I pray that each of us, as God's own child, will be able to say that from time to time, I have heard thy voice. Most frequently, we hear it through His Word. There are times we hear His voice as we're in prayer, as happened to Daniel here. And I caught his excitement. I hope you did. Notice in verse 20 and 21, he says, while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer. I catch that excitement. He repeats it a second time. I mean, this is special when you're talking to God and He begins to talk to you. I can't think of anything more. I overuse the word exciting, but I have no other superlative to use that. Fulfilling, maybe, when God begins to speak and begins to bring Scripture. Now remember, Daniel had prayed and he had seen in God's Word through Jeremiah that the 70 years were almost up. So he was not neglecting the Word that they had at that time. And he went to prayer as he saw these things were going to be fulfilled. This is a very special man that felt a burden in his heart to pray for himself and confess his own sin as well as for his nation. I still believe the verse is true. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, that God will still hear. Do you believe that? I do too. And see, Daniel put this into practice. Now, not only did God answer prayer while he was speaking, and he sent Gabriel, that Daniel recognized, being caused to fly swiftly. I believe God maybe told him, this is urgent. You remember we're studying in Daniel about how the Ancient of Days and how the Son of Man came before him and these things. And I just see in heaven that there is, I don't want to use the word concern, awareness. Because God is always on time. God is always on time. I want you to believe this. I know we have several who have gone through some extreme pain and others who are going through extreme conditions. And you wonder, is God on time? Where is He? Well, I can't answer everything for God, but I know He's totally aware of everything. And I know how important it is for us to come through victoriously, continuing to look to Him. If need be, we are in heaviness through manifold trial, that the trying of our faith, which is far more precious than gold which perisheth, though it be tried as by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In no way am I saying these things are easy, believe me. They aren't. And they hit each of us at different times in different ways. But may we be faithful in keeping our eyes on the Lord. You hear me say that week after week. And it's such a concern of mine because I don't want to see people fall. Nor do you, I'm sure. And that's why we pray one for another to remain strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You'll hear more on that tonight. And Gabriel said to Daniel as he talked to him, "O Daniel, I have now come to give you skill to understand." And then he says this next comment in verse 23, "For you are greatly beloved." For you are greatly beloved. What a commendation, isn't that? Do you believe that there's any born-again child of God that He doesn't love? Do you recognize God's love? Do we recognize God's love in our life? I pray we do. The Apostle John was one who always identified himself as the one who Christ loved. He just felt that love. He was aware of the presence of the Lord and His love. Oh, I thank God for His reality. I thank God for His reality. And then He gave some advice to Daniel, and this is the advice that I took for myself. Consider the matter and understand the vision. And that's the title of our lesson this morning. Consider the matter and understand the vision. I would assume that this was written because it's important for us to understand. Would you assume that same thing? To be aware that God tells us beforehand, so that when these things come to pass, we might believe. In verses 24 through 27, we have some of the most important verses that we can have in God's Word for those of us especially living today. And it begins with 70 weeks. 70 weeks. The first section I'm going to take, you'll find in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand." And I'm going to go to verse 25 before we go back to verse 24. In verse 25, let's read it over again. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times." And then the first line of 26, "And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off." So we find 7 weeks and 62 weeks in verse 25 equals 69 weeks. Well, we have an advantage at this stage of the game because we can look back in history. There were 4 decrees that went out for the children of Israel to go back. Now, which one is it that we would use in order to mark the beginning of that 483 whatever? Well, was it 70 weeks? Was it 70 months? Was it 70 years? Well, if we played with the 4 decrees that went out, and if we chose the last one to rebuild Jerusalem, we would find in Nehemiah chapter 2, that we would, the command to rebuild Jerusalem, if we use that one, it would be 445 BC. Now, that was the 4th decree. Now, if we had weeks or months, we'd never reach till when the Messiah came and was crucified. So we can look at it this way. There are other ways to do this, and I've heard it put in days and figured out. But it literally means 77s. Multiplying them, you get 490 for the full 70 weeks. But in verse 25, it says, the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And so we have 483 years. And it's interesting with that figure that in Luke, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, in Luke 19, I believe it is, 42, he said, now this is in his triumphal entry, Jesus said, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, isn't that beautiful? This was said hundreds of years before. And Jesus comes in and says, this is your day. The things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. That's a crucial verse. That's a crucial verse. Now they are hidden from your eyes. We'll pick up on that a little bit later also. So it was 483 years from when the decree went out in Nehemiah's time until Jesus came into Jerusalem. Which means no one else can come as a Messiah fulfilling Scripture as Jesus did. Not only was the time told, we know that the place was told, we know the genealogy fits. There is no way that we can miss the Messiah, that it is Jesus, the one who was promised to come. This is so beautiful as we take these prophecies together. We now go back to it says the street in verse 25, the street will be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you find all the difficulties, all the opposition, all the satanic attacks, I might say, to keep that work from going on. But through it all, God gave victory. Through it all, God gave victory. Truly, it was in troublesome times. But that didn't stop God from working. If we can see your faith and courage this morning that the God who gave these prophecies is still the God who is sovereign in this world today, even though circumstances may be bleak for us, and we may be discouraged, and we may be confused. Our God is not confused. Our part is to look to Him, to trust Him, to be faithful to Him, more ever now than even in past generations, as we come closer to the coming of Christ and the times become darker and more difficult. Now back to verse 24. We find 70 weeks are determined for your people, Israel, and for your holy city, Jerusalem. We want to think about that. Those are the ones identified, the Jewish people, Israel, and Jerusalem. Do you watch your news? Is it exciting to watch as you hear what's happening over in Israel? Don't be discouraged. Be praying. Be praying that God's will be done over there. We are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There seems to be anything but peace there right now. But we are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As I see God working out His program, what it does for me is I want to be a part. I want to be part of His program. Don't want to be out there on my own doing my own thing. I want to be in His will, doing His thing, His plan for my life. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He has before ordained that we should walk in them. He has a plan for each one of us. Wherever we are, whatever our work is, or lack of it, He has a plan for us. And I want to be in His perfect will. And my prayer for you is that you be in His perfect will also. He says, to finish the transgression. The nation, I think of the book of Judges. You know, it ends up with a phrase something like, they had no king and everyone did what was right in his own sight. Look around the world today. Don't you see that happening? In general, I'm not putting a blanket on everything, don't get me wrong. But people want to do their own thing. They feel like they're in bondage to the Lord if they begin to follow Him. When in reality, it's just reversed. We are walking in liberty as we walk in His program for us. We have complete freedom. We know our sins are forgiven. We know there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. They don't need to walk after the flesh, but they'll be following the Spirit. To finish the rebelling against God's Word and His commandments, we talked this morning, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And the next verse says how to prepare for that. Every man that has this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. And we were trying to think about what it means to purify ourselves. And Peter says, seeing you have purified yourselves and obeying the truth through the Spirit. In 1 Peter 1:22. And so I always put those verses together. Obedience to the truth. To finish 70 weeks. To finish a transgression. To make an end of sins, plural, of these things that you're doing that are contrary to the will of God. To make reconciliation or atonement for iniquity. In other words, 70 weeks are determined for these things. Now, the transgressions, the sins, the iniquity will have been fully atoned for. The Lord will have allowed them to come through the fire. And I'll explain what that means in just a little bit. It's very somber. In Zechariah, it's told us two parts will be cut off. And one third will come as by fire. The purification process of God's elect nation. How do you think? Praise God, we're the church. Yes, praise God, we're the church. Won't say anything more for the time being. Now, I would like to, before we go any farther than making atonement for iniquity, 70 weeks. Now, we've got 69 weeks so far covered pretty well. Let's look back at verse 26. After the 62 weeks, and you'll have to put the 7 weeks found in verse 25 there so we get 69 altogether, or won't reach till Jesus is cut off. You follow what I, do you understand what I'm saying there? We can go back in history and look at this. So Jesus could come in and say, you didn't recognize this, your day of visitation. Now, verse 26, the people and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. The wrath, Nahum 1:8, I think it is, if you read, you'll see there the wrath of God. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, I'd like to, the destruction of the city, I'd like to read this to you. And it's found in Luke 21. Now this sounds, I'm going to read from 20 through 24, because I won't have time to read it later when I really need it, but I'll read it all right now. This is not the Olivet Discourse. This is a Temple Mount Discourse where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And so it's a different conversation, but he answers the questions that the disciples had in Matthew 24. They said, they had come out of the temple and Jesus said there'll not be one stone left upon another. It's all going to be destroyed. And the disciples say, when will this be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And he seems to answer in Matthew 24 the last question, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Actually, they have that in one question. But he seems to answer the first one here about the destruction of the temple, which had to take place first. And so in 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that desolation is near. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Now, that sounds very much like Matthew 24. Matthew 24 takes place in the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week. This is beforehand. This is 70 AD when the temple is destroyed. Listen to verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. You see, that happened in 70 AD. That happened first. These portions are very close in sounding, but this timing is so important to get straight. Now, back in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, he says, the people of the prince who is to come, after 62 weeks plus the 7 weeks, after 69 weeks, he talks about the people of the prince to come. Now, this is what happened in 70 AD. It was the people who destroyed the city, the sanctuary, and the temple. But when we come to 27, we have another subject. He. Notice in verse 26, it's the people. The he refers back to the prince. This would be the Antichrist. You have a type at 70. It has to happen first, but you have the Antichrist coming in. Now, he shall confirm a covenant with many, Israel, for 1 week. One period of 7 years. That is still future. That is what is going to happen. Whether you say, will we see that? We will be here. Whether we'll recognize it, I am not sure. Somebody just brought an article into me this morning. There are talks of a 7-year period of making a land division over in Israel and then leasing it back. Whether that will happen, I don't know. Whether that's it, I don't know. All I'm saying is things are beginning to happen. Nations are beginning to topple. As we talked about this morning, they'll need a leader. They'll need a leader. And when they say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction as travail upon a woman with child. Keep that phrase in mind. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, that's at the 3.5-year point, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. He'll stop it. Now, because our time is going so fast, I believe that's at the same time when you take all the verses that you'll also see the fulfillment of Matthew 24:15, who says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, I believe it's at this time that the Antichrist, at the middle, as he stops the sacrifice, sets himself up in the temple of God so that he, as God, shows himself that he is God or pretends to be, small g, and no doubt sets his idol up to image of himself. And so we have this taking place in the middle of the 70th week. And then verse 27, on the wing of abominations, on the edge, on the pinnacle of abominations, shall be one who makes desolate until the consummation, until the end, which is determined, God's timing is all exact, is poured out on the desolate. Now, there are I'm just going to run through these. I don't have time to explain anything more. But we know that there's the transgression, the sins, iniquity have been atoned for. That's through the 70th week. Now there's a gap in the middle, obviously. That's where the church comes in. But the 70 weeks are right to the end of the 70th week of Daniel. Then we have in Romans 21:24 that we just read, the end of the 70th week, times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And then the last one in Romans 11, verse 25, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel. They're somewhat blind. National Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. At that time, at the end of the 70th week, the fullness of the Gentiles will be come in. And then it says, and all Israel will be saved. God's timetable is there. We are here right now. Our part is to be ready to know Him as our personal Savior, to be close, as James sang this morning, draw me near. May that be our prayer this morning as we anticipate these things which are to come. We do not have to worry. We can be assured that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Our part is to know Him and to be drawn near day by day. Shall we stand as we're dismissed? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank You for Your love and mercy and grace. How we thank You, Father, that You do care about Your own. And Father, I pray this day that You would be with each one who has come out this morning, encourage us to stand for You, to live for You, Lord, through these coming days, no matter what happens. Father, may we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one, both now and forever.